Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing my week 24 recap. I'll be covering everything that happened at the end of the season. Also, guys, I'll do a little wrap up for some of the teams that didn't make the playoffs and some other news as well. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD podcast. And guys, we have reached the pinnacle, guys. The season's done. So we got all the playoffs set up. Of course, there's the play-in that'll take place Tuesday, April 15th and run till the 18th until we get the 7 and 8 teams coming out of that. But as of now, we will cover the teams that didn't make it. We'll do that. Also, some other news as well. So without any further delay, let's get right into it. Of course, we start like we always start, guys, with the players of the week. And guys, we got two players for two of the hottest teams going down the stretch. For the West, James Harden, guys. For the LA Clippers, he had a fantastic week, guys. His team went 4-0 for the week, by the way. He averaged 29.5 points per game, 10.5 assists, and 7.5 rebounds. The four wins they got was over the Spurs at home, Houston at home, and then their two road games, they went and beat Sacramento, where Harden got a triple-double, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. And then that final game, a game that I watched, went to overtime. They played Golden State. And Harden in that game, 39 points, guys. He was terrific. So, So they were able to get the win. Excuse me, guys. So they would go 4-0 for the week, and Harden a big part of that. Mind you, last week, Kawhi Leonard, he was the player of the week also for the Clippers. And then for the East, Giannis Antetokounmpo. And actually, he won last week, so he's a repeat winner. His team went 4-0, but he played in three of the four games. He averaged 27.7 points per game, 11.7 rebounds, and 10 assists. They got wins over Minnesota at home, where he got a triple-double. 23 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. They beat the Pelicans at home. And then on the road, they beat Detroit, where he had 32 points, 11 rebounds, 15 assists. In the game he was out, they actually played Detroit at home and got a win in overtime. So Giannis Antetokounmpo, your player of the week for the East in week 24. So with that said, guys, let us move on. Top stories, guys. The Joker does something that only two other players have done. Average a triple-double for the season, joining the likes of Oscar Robertson and Russell Westbrook, who's done it multiple times. The Joker, here's what he averaged. Hang on a second. Yes. He averaged 29.6 points per game, 12.7 rebounds, and then 10.2 assists. So Joker in rarefied air, guys. Mind you, the other two guys who did this were point guards. Jokic is doing it from the center position, guys. That's how special this man is. So, Nikolai Jokic does the unthinkable and averages a triple-double. He flirted with it for a few seasons now, but 2024-25, he reaches that goal. So, big ups to him. Let us move on. The Portland Trail Blazers, guys. They take care of the people that are in charge. GM Joe Cronin and head coach Chauncey Billups were giving contract extensions. Guys, the Portland Trail Blazers, they're a young team on the come up. They have building blocks there, guys. You got guys like Shaedon Sharpe there. You got guys like Dene Avaji, who had a very nice season for them coming over in that trade from Washington. Also, Donovan Clingan, their center they got in the draft. Excuse me. And then also, guys, Tumani Camara. He had a nice season for them. Anthony Simons, he's been a mainstay for them, guys. Scoot Henderson, they got in last year's draft. So the pieces are there, guys. The pieces are in place for the Portland Trailblazers. So, Portland was able to give these guys extensions. So, kudos to them for doing so. Let us continue on. And this is this is players who played in all 82 games, guys. These are the guys, the Iron Men, if you will, able to appear in every single game. And you have 11 guys who did it. And actually, six of them are starters. The rest are bench players. Starting with my New York Knicks, Mikal Bridges. He appeared in all 82, guys. Albeit the last game, he started, played the first few minutes, then he was out of there. But he was able to play all 82. Mind you, he has a streak going as is. He's played in every single game in his NBA career, so... So, once again, Mikal Bridges keeping his streak going. Jared Allen of the Cleveland Cavaliers, which is a tremendous accomplishment for him because last year he had a series of injuries last year, like many of the Cavaliers did, but he was able to play in all 82 games, guys. Malik Beasley for the Detroit Pistons. Albeit coming off the bench, he has played well for them, and he has appeared in every game, albeit from the bench and sometimes starting, but he's been in every game. Rookie, Colin Sexton for the Washington Wizards. He's appeared in every game. Sometimes he started, but most of the time he came in from the bench. So He appeared in it all 82. Jalen Green of the Houston Rockets. He appeared in all 82 as well, guys. Jalen Green, a vital piece for that Houston Rockets team that finished second in the West. Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors. Another bench player who's appeared in all 82 games, guys. Nikhil Alexander Walker, one of three. No, I'm sorry. One of two Minnesota Timberwolves who appeared in every game. The other being Jaden McDaniels. And then three players for the Spurs. Julian Champagne, also Harrison Barnes, and believe it or not, in his 20th season, guys, Chris Paul appeared in every single game. So definitely kudos to all these guys for being able to do that. With that said, let us move on. You got five guys entering the playoffs with injury concerns, guys, and it's going to bear watching as the playoffs commence. Donovan Mitchell, who's missed his last four games, guys, with an ankle sprain. So that situation is going to bear some watching. Thankfully for him, he doesn't have to play until next Sunday. So that gives him time to recover as far as that goes. Let us continue. Jaylen Brown of the Boston Celtics. He's missed 19 games overall, guys, with knee and hip woes. In fact, it was just reported that he had to get injections in his knee, guys, for pain management. So Jaylen Brown, who was an all-star this year, but suffering down the stretch with the knee issues, and he, as I said, was given injections. So the situation with him will bear watching as the Boston Celtics try to defend their NBA championship. Let us continue. Damian Lillard of the Milwaukee Bucks. He's missed 24 games, guys. And now he's currently dealing with a blood clot in his calf that he's had since March 25th. So this is the one that's quite interesting because, let's be real about it. If Milwaukee doesn't have Dame Lillard in the playoffs, it's going to be a short playoffs for them. So we'll see what happens with that. Jamal Murray. He's missed 16 games, guys, with a nagging hamstring, which has always plagued Jamal Murray. And needless to say, the Denver Nuggets need him if they're going to have a long playoff run. So that bears watching. And then also Jalen Williams with the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's missed 13 games with a hip strain. In fact, they sat him for the last game of the season just as a precaution. And he, too, will have a week to sit until their first game, which will be on the Sunday. So these are five players. I will be keeping my eye on each of them to see how they progress in the playoffs. But these are situations that's worth paying attention to. So there you go. And then, lastly, as far as news goes, the Oklahoma City Thunder, they break a winning margins record by outscoring their opponent nearly 13 points at 12.9 points. They outscored their opponent. They broke a record that was held by the Milwaukee Bucks of the 1971-72 season, where they won by a margin of 12.3 points over their opponent. That was a team with Kareem, the young Kareem there, as well as seasoned veteran. In fact, I just mentioned him, Oscar Robertson. So, but Oklahoma City Thunder, that's how dominant a season they had, guys. Finishing with that 68-4 record. So there you go. All right, guys. So that is the stories as far as that goes. Now I want to get into the different teams and how they finish and what lies ahead. Let us start. Here's how we're going to do this, guys. I'm going to go from the best of the worst teams all the way down to the worst. So we'll do it in kind of descending order, if you will. So we'll start with the Phoenix Suns, and they were quite busy. Once the season was done, guys, they finished 36-46, and Mike Budenholzer out as the coach. So when they hired him, guys, they gave him a 5-year deal, being that, remember, Mike Budenholzer is from Arizona, so it was a coming home of sorts for him. But after one season, owner Matt Ishbia said he got to go. Mind you, they fired Vogel the season before that. Oh, by the way, Vogel finished 49-33. So you're talking about a 13-game difference, guys. Then you fire Vogel. Now you fire Budenholzer. Mind you, with Matt Ishbia first bought the team, he fired Monty Williams. So now you're searching for your fourth coach in four seasons. That is not stability. That won't get it done in the NBA. So a little word to the wise, Matt Ishbia, you can't run your franchise that way. I'm just saying. So they're moving on from the coach. And then also, too, what seems likely, it seems that they will shake up things on the roster. I don't see Kevin Durant coming back for the season. I think they move on from him. He does have that last year at $54.7 million. He's going to want a contract extension, guys, so you have that hanging over your head. So, they'll be shopping Durant. But the thing is, I don't know what they're going to be able to recoup. He is getting a year older, guys. And anybody who gets him may have to gut their roster. But here's what I say. I don't know if you have to gut it like that. Because, again, he's a year older. Fine. But what has he really given? He was an all-star. I give you that. I grant you that. But I don't know. If I'm a team dealing for him, I don't know if I'm swinging for the fences. I'm just saying. Because the thing with Durant is, you know, he's a guy who just want to hoop. So he's not going to be a leader in your locker room. You got to take all that into account, guys. I know it's, you know, it sounds good to bring a Kevin Durant in, but you got to understand what's involved when you bring him in. So that's all I'm saying with that. Bradley Beal, I don't think he's going nowhere. He's got that no trade clause. So I don't think he's going anywhere. So if you're going to build, you're just going to have to build with Bradley Beal there because he's not moving anywhere. I doubt if he lifts his no trade. I seriously doubt that, guys. Heck, he wasn't lifted to go to Miami. So, excuse me. So I don't know what to tell you with that. So we'll see what happens, but I don't think he's going to be moved. Then you come to Devin Booker, who's probably your greatest asset. Do you say, you know what? Maybe we'll bite the bullet with Kevin Durant and get something lesser, but we'll get the big bounty when we deal Devin Booker. So the options are there for them, guys. They have the highest payroll in the NBA, so they definitely have to shake some things up. And again, Beal has two more years left on his deal before they're free of him. And Booker, he has 3 years left on his deal. But I say this, guys. I think when the dust settles, it'll only be one guy out of these three still with the franchise. And I think it'll be Beal because you really can't move. So I'm just saying. So that's the Phoenix story, pretty much. Portland, I already told you about Joe Cronin, the GM, getting the extension. So did Chauncey Billups for doing such a fine job molding the young talent there. Like I said, they're a young team on the rise, guys. They, too, finished 36-46, which is more of an indictment on Phoenix. Than it is on Portland. So Portland, they have some money to play with, guys. I think trade options for them, they could think about dealing a DeAndre Ayton, what you get from him. I'm not sure at this point. He has a year left at $35.5 million. Jeremy Grant, who's a valued veteran, but you know, he's getting a lot of money, guys. So whoever is able to absorb that money, probably gonna cost you, but we'll see. And then Simons, I know he's a young piece, but maybe you want to deal him because you got Shaedon Sharpe there looking great. So he could be an option as well. So a lot of interesting things Portland can do. But they have the young building pieces, so they're in good shape in that. So moving on. San Antonio Spurs, I think, are in an interesting position, guys, at 34-48. The big question is, will the Popovich era be ending? Remember, guys, he missed a chunk of the season with the stroke that he suffered. The man is, you know, 76 years old, so there's that. Does he want to come back for another go-around? We'll see. But I tell you what, with Mike Budenholzer now free as far as coaching goes, remember, Budenholzer is part of that Popovich coaching tree. So do you bring him back maybe as a head assistant coach and Popovich comes back for one more season, and then he rides off into the sunset. This way you leave fertile ground for Mike Budenholzer to be able to coach that squad. And once he retires, you can do that. Right now, they're free agents. Chris Paul, he's a free agent, guys. So is Charles Bassey and Sandro. I always get this name. Mahmoud Kalajdzic-Vili. Yeah. So you got three guys there that's free agent. And then also, too, remember, you got to give that contract extension to De'Aaron Fox. And do you give an extension to Harrison Barnes, who's a, you know, he's a solid piece for that team. So, you know, they have decisions to make in the front office. And then, of course, there's the coaching decision as well. But things are looking up for the Spurs. Mind you, granted that Victor Wembanyama, remember, he missed the latter half of the season with the blood clot issue. Coming into the season, hopefully they're able to deal with that situation and he's able to come back healthy and ready. So we'll see what happens there. Moving on. Toronto Raptors. They finished 30-52. Right now, they're at an interesting crossroads, guys. You got the coach there, Darko Rajanovic. So you have that. Also, guys, they have a pretty decent salary cap going into next year. And to me, it's a question of which of these players are going to stay. Out of Brandon Ingram, mind you, they got him at the trade deadline. He hasn't played a game for them yet, guys. So there's that. RJ Barrett, who you just gave the rook, well, you didn't, but the Knicks did, the rookie contract extension. So you have to figure that out. Scottie Barnes as well, who is your franchise player, and Grady Dick, the promising young player. He's going into his third season, coming out of his second season now. I don't think you're going to have all four of these guys there. I think somebody will get moved. Who it is, I can't say, but I don't see these four guys coming into training camp for next season. I don't see it. And then also your free agent is Chris Boucher, who seemed like he's been there forever, guys. But he's a guy, you know, he's a big who can stretch the floor. So there will be attention paid to him as a free agent. So we'll see what happens there. But again, Toronto's in an interesting situation. So we'll see how it goes. The Brooklyn Nets finished 26-56. Jordy Fernandez, I tell you what, guys. You know, the record doesn't say so, but he had this team playing hard every night, given that, you know, they were mismatched on most nights, but this team fought and fought and fought. Right now, they don't have a lot of money on the books for next year. Only a little over $53 million. Yeah, free agents like Ben Simmons, that money's finally coming off the books, guys. $39.2 million coming off the books. Bogdan Bogdanovic, who they got from the Knicks, and his $19 million. D'Angelo Russell at $18.6 million. And then De'Anthony Melton with his $12.8 million. So, guys, they're going to have a lot of money to throw at free agents. The question is, who's going there? I doubt if you see a situation kind of like back in 2019 where a couple of star guys say, you know what, let's go over here and see what we can do over here. Kind of like a KD and Kyrie. I don't see that happening. But they got a lot of money to shell out. So we'll see what happens there. And then also, too, what to do with Cam Thomas. Cam Thomas right now, next year, he has a $5.9 million qualifying offer that the Nets can offer to him. But you have to ask yourself a question. Is he a vital building block over there? The kid can score. The kid can score with the best of them. He had an injury-riddled season this season, so you have to ask that question. What do you do with Cam Thomas? So we'll see what happens, but got a lot of young pieces over there, but again, they got a lot of money to throw at free agents, so we'll see how that goes. The Philadelphia 76ers, what a disaster of a season that was. But as of now, as of this recording here, it looks like Daryl Morey's coming back. It looks like Nick Nurse is coming back. I haven't seen anything stating otherwise, guys. And I've been checking my sports ticker and nothing. I see nothing in that regard. So, So it looks like, looks like they'll both be back next season. He said, they expect more of them as far as the team goes. But the big question hanging over this franchise is Joel Embiid and that knee, that bulky knee of his. What's going to happen with that? And then you have Paul George with his own injury situations there. So you form this big three of Embiid, Paul George, and Tyrese Maxey. But the first year was a disaster. So what do you do now? So the franchise's future hangs on the knee of Joel Embiid and whatever's ailing Paul George. Your possible free agents, Kelly Oubre could be one. He has a player option at $8.3 million. I'm pretty much can bet you that he's going to opt out of his player option and hit the free agent market. And then you have Andre Drummond at $5 million, who has a player option. He could opt out and go somewhere. The most interesting to me, guys, is Quentin Grimes, who has a qualifying offer at $6.3 million. Guys, Quentin Grimes, he showed a lot. Once guys started going down, he had an opportunity and he made the most of it. So I'm very interested to see if Philly feels that Quentin Grimes is a valued piece over there for the Sixers. And then grant you this, they lost their rookie sensation, Jarrett McCain, who was coming on, guys, until he tore up his knee. So you have that. But Quentin Grimes, I'll be very interested to see what happens with him in that regard. Smart Money says they'll keep him, but we'll see what happens there. And then, the French kid, he's going to be a free agent as well as Yabusele. And also Kyle Lowry are going to be free agents, so. Do they bring both those guys back? Kyle Lowry's long in the tooth, guys, so we'll see. But a lot of work to be done in Philly. New Orleans Pelicans. They did fire David Griffin. He's out now, guys. as the executive vice president of basketball. He's gone, guys. And mind you, he's the one who orchestrated the Anthony Davis trade to the Lakers. And then he's also the guy who drafted Zion Williamson. So there you go with that. Willie Green looks like he's hanging on to his job for dear life. And again, I say it's no fault of Willie Green's. He's playing with the hands that he's dealt, and it hasn't been a good hand as of late. Especially having to rely upon a Zion Williamson. So there you go. And the rumor as far as bringing in somebody to replace Griffin, the early word in the clubhouse is Joe Dumars, who was the architect of those Detroit Pistons teams, the one that was coached by Larry Brown and ended up winning a championship. So Joe Dumars is in the mix down in New Orleans. I say another name to bandy out is Bob Myers. I understand he's at ESPN doing this thing in the booth, but I think he wants another bite at the apple with some franchise. So, would it be New Orleans? We'll see. But for them, their free agents, Bruce Brown, who they got via trade, his $23 million's coming off the books, guys. Possible players that could be moved. CJ McCollum, I think, could be on the move, guys. Also, a Kelly Olynyk. If you move those guys, free up some money, maybe you can bring somebody in. And then what to do with Zion again? That's a big question, guys. Will he be on the move? We'll see. So that's the situation in New Orleans. The Charlotte Hornets. As of now, it seems like they're hanging on to their coach, Charles Lee. They finished 19-63. Big question is, what happens with LaMelo Ball? I understand you gave him the rookie max, but is he truly a guy you can hang your franchise on to take you to that next level? It hasn't happened yet, guys. So there's that. And then Mark Williams, you tried to deal him to the Lakers at the trade deadline, but, you know, he failed the physical. They didn't like how his medical history looked. He said, "Nah, we're out." So, do you try and deal Mark Williams again? We'll see. And they got a good chunk of money that's on the books for next year. But guys, they need a healthy Brandon Miller. Brandon Miller, who went down early in the season, guys, they need him healthy. This way you can assess that roster that's over there. So I think big questions are LaMelo Ball and Mark Williams. I would watch that situation closely if I were, as this offseason goes along. A couple more and then we're done, guys. The Washington Wizards just finished at 18-64. Brian Keith did the best he could with that squad, but he didn't really have the horses in the barnyard. What to do with Jordan Poole, man? I understand you gave him a boatload of money, but he's not a guy to lead your franchise. He's just not. He has to be like a third option. I wouldn't even say second option, third option for a franchise, which isn't happening with Washington, obviously. You got some decent money on the books for next year. You do have free agents there, like Malcolm Brogdon. His money falls off the 22.5. Chris Middleton, who has a player option for 33.3. Do they buy him out? Do they, let him re-sign and then try and ship him out somewhere? We'll see. But a lot of young pieces, guys. A lot of young pieces over there. And not sure if they're on their way up. Doesn't seem like it. So we'll see what happens. And then the last one, the Utah Jazz at 17 and 65. I'm like, what the heck is happening in Utah? You got all this young talent over there. You got Lauri Markkanen, you gave the big extension to. He only played in, I think, 46 games. So that's not good. Your free agents, John Collins, he'll be on the move. He made $26.5 million. He's on the move. And Jalen Hood-Schifino, who wasn't getting a lot of money anyway. But now I think the question for them is, you got two guys with a year left on their deal. Are you going to move these guys? Colin Sexton and Jordan Clarkson. These are two guys I think you can definitely move and get something back. But I'm not sure what Danny Ainge is doing over there. I have no clue whatsoever. So, Will Hardy, I wish the best for you over there, but it's a mess. So that's all I'll say with that. All right, guys, so that is it for this show, guys. Had to kind of tough it out here, a little bit under the weather, but, I got to bring in the content any way you slice it. So, guys, the WNBA draft is going on, so I'll break that down. Play-in, guys, I'll give you my play-in preview as well. And, of course, playoffs preview, I'll have that as well, so. As I nurse myself back to health, I'll be bringing those episodes to you. All right, guys, with that said, and also postseason awards predictions, I got a few of those there. I'll probably couple that with the WNBA draft review or recap. So I'll couple that together. So, all right, guys, all things basketball with GD.com is the website. There you find my episodes, my clips. Guys, I'm on YouTube. I'm there. Also, all the podcast platforms, I'm there. Apple, leave reviews, like the videos where you see them, guys. Socials, TikTok, Instagram, Blue Sky. Look like the bloom is coming off the rose with Blue Sky, but I'll still post there. And then Facebook, I'm putting stories up and seeing where the wind blows with that. That's about it. But yeah, so that's it, guys. Support this show. My Cash App is always in the scroll, guys. Also, my donate page is on my website. There, I got three buttons you can donate with: buy me a coffee, PayPal, and Spotify donate. So thank you for listening as always, guys, and we'll talk soon. Take care.